All right, Brian. Good morning on this Thursday morning. I feel much better today. Thank you guys for praying for me. One thing that I discovered that's pretty cool is mullein tea. That's mullein tea. I actually did some research on it this morning because I found a big bag we had in our pantry, so I found out the health benefits of mullein tea. And mullein tea actually helps with inflammation, with swelling, it helps with digestion, it helps with your respiratory system, and what else? Oh, your digestive system. So I highly recommend mullein tea, mullein. And it says for me to drink it like 3 or 4 times a day, 1 to 2 teaspoons a day. So I just had my first one, and I'm excited about learning more about herbs because when I was growing up, in the South, we just had a way we ate, we had a way that our culture, we fried everything, fried green tomatoes, fried potatoes, so it's hard to come out of your habits and to learn, something new. So I'm trying to learn. Dennis, has taught me a lot over the last 2.5 years. But during these 40 days, I've really been, seeking God about my health lifestyle, how I can come out of this stinking thinking, and get into more of like Dennis does. Dennis is the healthiest person I have ever seen. I am not kidding. If he sees something, some kind of attack come to his body, he's on it, boy. I mean, even out in the woods. Like if he gets scratched or something, he'll come back to the house and he's putting all this stuff on it, and but he's in tip-top shape. I mean, this guy is just phenomenal, but it's because of how he sees his temple, and he protects it with everything there is, even if I cook something that he knows may not be as healthy, like spaghetti. Even though I make it with all healthy stuff, like we buy, the noodles that are the organic, and then we'll have deer meat or some kind of, lean type of, beef, grass-fed beef, stuff like that. But if it's a pretty good sized meal like that, he will take these, pills that, what did he call them? Free, that has a lot of free radicals or whatever. But that's just how Dennis thinks. So during these 40 days, I'm really asking God, to make me like Dennis, show me how to guard my temple in the way that he does. So that's one thing that this mullein tea does, by the way, is it brings a lot of the phlegm to the surface. So you'll just have to excuse me another day. But anyway, so this is day 9 of our 40-day fast. I hope everybody's staying faithful. We are staying faithful. I wrote in my journal this morning, what we've been doing for the past 9 days. So the first 2.5 days, we did all water. And then, I met my best friend. I only get to see her about once a year. So we met in a town, and had dinner. And but we knew ahead of time that this would be a divine appointment. So I wrote that down. And then since then, we've been doing the intermittent fasting where we just eat at 5 o'clock. And so but I've been, documenting what it is that we're eating. It's mullein tea. It's mullein. It helps you with inflammation, digestion, respiratory, which is what I need for my lungs. And then, let's see. It helps with all kinds of stuff, but you put it in your tea, 1 to 2 teaspoons, and then you do it about 3 times a day. And so I'm going to do that, you know, the next few days and kind of knock this out. But I also, you know, took a couple of those drops of oregano oil, you know, the Mediterranean style. And, but anyway, so, as far as like what we eat at night, we just have like, fruits and vegetables. So, except for the tuna fish, one night we had tuna fish and we had sandwiches. We ate on it 3 nights, and then we'd have like, steamed broccoli or steamed carrots. And then, last night we had a really nice salad. So that's how we're doing it so far. But, you know, the main point is for us to keep our heart posture in place, to allow God to keep us up on the potter's wheel. And that's what the word I have for you this morning. The Lord woke me up this morning, actually, and gave this to me. So I'm going to give it to you guys as an encouragement on our 40-day fast about, you know, staying up on the potter's wheel and allowing God to correct us. And so today's subject is pride. And God dealt with me about pride this morning. And that's how, hold on. That's how you remain a child of the King. Is you allow him to reveal your heart to him and allow him to reveal yourself to you. And during the 40 days, that's what it's for. You know, he's pruning our trees. Remember, we're learning this in Bible college about how we're all trees in his great garden, and sometimes things will attach to us. Maybe we have watched things or participated in things or said things or been around things, you know, that have attached. So we are never above correction. We are never above sinning. You know, none of us are perfect, and we all, hold on. Yeah. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, sir. You want to say hi to everybody?
Lost reversing the thing.
Oh, you want to say hi?
Hello, everybody. For some reason, I don't have reverse. Yeah.
Lord, help Dennis right now, in Jesus' name. He's having some problems with his ATV. But anyway, so we always want to keep the heart of, you know, God, if I'm sinning, I want you to show me. You know, I want to be corrected, because pride is a killer, and it'll destroy you. So let's get started here. We are in Judges chapter 16, and let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your corrective rod. We thank you for keeping us up on the potter's wheel, Lord. And, you know, for speaking to us, Lord. We're so very grateful. And, Lord, we just humble ourselves before you today and allow you, Lord, to move in our life and to show us what we need to, Lord, to keep us pliable before the throne. And, Lord, I just thank you for everybody that's with us, Lord. I just pray for their homes. I pray peace in their homes right now, God. I pray that you help them with their finances. If there's people suffering with their finances, Lord, help them with their finances. Help them with wisdom, Lord. People that are asking you for wisdom right now. And we just thank you and give you praise, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now, in my Bible, it talks about Judges chapter 15 that Samson, you know, we're going to talk about Samson and Delilah today. Because Samson was denied a wife in chapter 15. So in chapter 16, it starts out where he goes to see a harlot. So let's start there. Then when Samson went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come here. So they compassed him round about and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. So looking at our current day situation, we know that our enemy out here has their plots and plans against us, how they want to kill us, don't they? And we know that it's pretty diabolical. You know, I mean, the technology they got today, you know, is just, there's no culture that's ever seen what we're facing. So God has got to equip us at that level. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, verse 3. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. So I realized after pondering on that this morning, that was pride as well. Okay, Samson knew that he was surrounded and they were sitting at the gates ready to capture him in the morning. So his pride was kind of flaunting it in their face. I know you guys are here, so I'm going to pull up the gates right where you're sitting and I'm going to pull up everything around you and I'm going to show you who's boss, you know. Verse 4, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came in unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lies, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give you, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. So they bribed her. So now the enemy is coming after Samson through his emotions, isn't it? Because Samson now has emotions towards another woman. So the enemy lashed on to her and told her, we will bribe you if you will find out what his secret is. So Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein is your great strength lies, and wherewith thou might be bound to afflict thee? And Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. So it kind of makes you wonder, why would Samson tell her, even kind of trick her, because really he's just tricking her right now. But why would he do that? You know, when God told him, you know, this is your glory, you know, that you have your long hair. This, as long as you have your long hair, you will have this power, this superpower. So another reason why he's doing this is pride. He's messing around with her with his pride. Now go to the next one. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now, there were men lying in wait, just like it was at the gate, right? Abiding with her in the chamber. What? I didn't notice that when I read it earlier. What the world? They're in his house? No way. They are ready to capture this man, ain't they? I'm on the edge of my seat, man. What the world? I didn't see that earlier. So the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. Wait. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now, there were men lying in wait, so I was right, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. So he broke the whip as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said to Samson, behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, with what might you be bound? She's like, tell me again, Samson, you lied to me. So Samson knows, okay, let's just pause here. Samson's a prophet. He knows that she's tricking him. But what is blinding Samson? His pride. What else is blinding him? His emotions. See, this is why God is telling us, and this is what God is telling me this morning too. I am jealous for you. I want you more. I want you more than anything else. I want you to love me more than anything in the earth. And that is God's harsh desire, right? Now, so here we go back to the story. He said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then I shall be weak and be as another man. So Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait. They were in the chamber again. No way. No way. They were abiding in the chamber, and he broke them from off their arms like a thread. And Delilah said to Samson, hitherto have you mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou might be bound. So here it is the third time. The third time. You would think Samson would have caught on by now, wouldn't you? And you would think he'd say, woman, how dare you go against my God? I'm commanding you to leave this house right now. But he didn't. Why? Because of his pride. Okay, so, and he said unto her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web, and she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went up with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how can you say I love me when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times and has not told me wherein your strength lies. So it came to pass when she pressured him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed with death. All right, so here we go. So let's all look at our life right here. Okay, we get out here, we play with fire. We touch not the unclean thing that we know we should not be going to, we should not be around, we should not be looking at. Sorry. We touch not the unclean thing. So we think this thing ain't going to bother us, you know. We can be a part of this. It ain't going to attach to us. But one day it attaches, and then God wakes you up early in the morning and says, listen here, woman. you better get this thing off of you. You hear what I'm saying? That little stubbornness that us women sometimes have when we want stuff our way. And she said unto him, how can you say you love me when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me 3 times and has told me wherein your strength lies. And it came to pass that as she pressured him daily with words and urged him so that his soul was vexed to death, then he told her all his heart. He spilled the beans. Yes, he did. There has not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God since my mother's womb. And if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall be weak and be like any other man. Uh-oh. He just spilled the beans. So when Delilah saw that he had told her all her heart, his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up here at once, for he has showed me his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. Boy, this is like Judas, ain't it? And she made him sleep upon her knees. Boy, she had him now. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Isn't that sad? She probably sat there and mocked him while they were cutting it off. What do you think it meant when it says she afflicted him? Did she sit there and beat him while it was taken off? Was she mocking him? Was she laughing at him? Tormenting him? And she goes, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke up out of his sleep and said, I will go out any other time like before and shake myself. And he was not, that the Lord was departed from him. He did not even know that the Lord left him. And I read that this morning, and I mean a fear come over me. Lord, please don't never leave me. See, that's what pride would do. The Lord is a gentleman. He'll walk right out. This is why we have to be correctable, and why we have to let God reveal himself and reveal our heart to him, because he'll leave. And see, this is what's happening to a lot of people, a lot of Christians right now, and this is so sad, because I saw last night one of the heads of NAR, I won't even say her name, because I'm not going to, you know, speak a curse over her or anything. But she is the head. And she was at a meeting telling everybody, I have started a new Hollywood television show, and I'm going to do like psychics, and I'm just going to travel around, and I'm going to give words to people. And just, they're going to film me doing it. And, you know, we're going to show the world what this is like. And, you know, I was sitting there looking at her, and I was thinking, man, what we have come to, you know. But the people that are partnering with the beast don't even know God left. Think about it. I wonder if the ones who even take the mark know. Their conscience would be seared when that time comes. You know, I've got a family member, and she knows my position on that. And, you know, she's always been a Christian, but she's been a liberal one, if y'all know what I mean. She's like a, what is that, Presbyterian or whatever? And so she knew that I believed that this, you know, shot was the MOTB. She has always in the last 5 years lets me know she still prays. You know, she doesn't say it mean or anything, but she lets me know. I mean, it has changed our relationship for sure, you know, because position on that plus Trump, you know. But she lets me know it hasn't hardened her, you know. And so this is why I tell people, you know, just because you believe that, you're not God. And I do have that understanding that I am not God. I believe it for myself, as for me and my house. I will never tell somebody to go get it. I will never promote it. I will discourage people to not get it. I will tell them I believe it is. But I'm not going to condemn people because I'm not the judge. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I mean, this is a very thin line we have to walk, because you do not want people to commit suicide and stuff. This is between them and Jesus, you know. We have our understanding and stuff because we've done our research and because of things that God has told us, you know, but for other people to understand it, it's just a lot different. It's like this letter that I mailed all these pastors. I've not heard from not one. Not one has contacted me back, you know, but when they take the MOTB, are their hearts hardened? You know, does it separate them from God? If the real thing, yes, it will. The Bible says it does. Okay, so anyway. The point is that we're not God. Okay, so let's go back here. Now, let's go to verse 20 again. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee." And Samson, he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as all the other times before and shake myself." That pride, see. But he did not know that God had departed from him. So the Philistines took him and took out his eyes. That's so sad. Because that means that he lost his anointing. His eyeballs was his anointing, you know, a seer, a prophet. And brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. And what that means is, have you ever seen these people that look like cattle and they've got that thing around their neck with their arms in binds? And they walk around like a mule does, you know, pushing a thing, and they walk in circles. That's what that is. "Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaved." Then the Lord of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their God and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God has delivered Samson our enemy into our hands." And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has delivered us into our hands, our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." And now I thought about, you know, us going up for martyrdom and stuff. Some people, God's already spoke to them and told them what their destiny is. Some people already know it. Okay. So let's say this is you. Let's say you're like Samson. And you're up there before the Antichrist and they're all standing there mocking you. They're mocking your failure. You know, whatever it is. Like, say, this fiber for the cyber that's coming, like I showed you on the news last night, which will be live, by the way, at 10 a.m. this morning. The recording did get uploaded. So it will be live after this prayer call at 10 a.m. over on Patreon. But as I showed on the news last night, you know, the fiber Mike from around the world was bragging, not really bragging, but talking about it with, what's his name? Paul Bagley, Pastor Paul Bagley, about this new software program that they have that's going to expose all Christians. It's going to expose everyone. And it's just like what I told you guys was coming. I can't believe it's already here, but it's going to happen. And the way that they describe that it's going to happen is worse than what I thought. Because I just thought it would be the beast exposing, you know, you in front of the community and whatnot. But it's worse than that. It's what they're going to do is every person you've ever talked about will be notified and told what you said. And so people, it's a software program that will reveal your dirty to everyone that you've harmed. And the beast is going to do this to bring division in the church and to make the church look terrible. And, you know, he was kind of like mocking Christians, like, you say you walk in love, but what about when that happens? Are you going to love your brother when you know what they've said about you and what they've done to you? You know, because this program is going to reveal it all. So, it's going to be a big test of, are we going to be able to love people? But it's part of this destroying Christianity, the old order. You know, he didn't say it like that, but I know that's what it is because of what God revealed to me. See, they want to bring up this new religion to pull everybody back to the original. Let's go back to our, you know, Judeo roots. But it's not. It's the, you know, the Kabbalah roots type of deal. But anyways, the news was really good last night. Okay, so now let's say that you're staying, you know, before the Antichrist and you're getting mocked and everything and you, that program come out against you and now everybody knows all your dirty, you know. And you're, I mean, who knows if they're going to embellish it, you know. Or we think they've embellished it because remember what I said about sin. You know, you sin with excuses. You know, like, let's say you and your husband have been split up for a couple of years, and then you start dating. Well, you have this excuse in your mind, you know, that I'm dating because really, in my mind, we're already divorced. See how I've reasoned? Even though it's not legal on paper, I'm still, we've been separated for so long, and I'm just going to date. And, you know, so you would be exposed as an adulterer, you know, type of deal. And in your mind, you've reasoned why you do that, but the public's not going to understand that. It's like a law and order type of deal. You broke the law, you know, type of deal. So it's going to be pretty, I'm just really thankful that we're all fasting right now. You know, that we're humbling ourselves and allowing God to pull out a lot of stuff. Because I think we're going to be required to love more than we've ever been required to love. You know. Okay. So the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their God. And to rejoice, for they said, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. So it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. So they wanted to mock him in front of their God, in front of all their leaders, and in front of their entire community. So imagine how this is after you know you have failed your God. You have been humbled. God has left the building. And now you're left without your God. And you're also left in shame and being hated by the public. Imagine. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars wherein the house stands, that I may lean upon them. So he asked his guy, please let me touch the walls so I can lean upon, because he couldn't see, remember? Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women, can you believe that? That beheld while Samson made sport. So I kind of see this like a coliseum. You know, they're all looking down and mocking him in this big coliseum. So Samson called unto the Lord. This is so beautiful. And said, O Lord God, will you remember me? I pray you, and strengthen me, I pray you, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. So he asked God, he's like, God, I know I have messed up. It's really his way of repenting. I have messed up, God, and I'm asking you just to avenge me one time. Because of what they did to my eyes, Lord. You know, because his eyes was his anointing from God. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself, isn't that beautiful, with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords, and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he had slew in his life. That's a lot of people. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. Now, that tells me God forgave him. Because you know about the patriarchs and the prophets. Okay, if they died honorable, then they were able to be buried in their father's place and the genealogy, their father's fathers. Or some of them actually got buried in other prophets' tombs. But if they were in good standing with God, that's the only way that they were able to be buried with honor. So Samson, although he had failed with his pride, although he had suffered and lost his eyeballs, in the end he repented and asked God to use him to destroy that evil house, and God did. And then he blessed him and buried him in the tomb of honor. So if anybody else is dealing this morning with pride, we're going to deal with that. And we're going to ask God to tear down that devil this morning. Amen. Because if we're all honest with each other, we have probably all dealt with pride. Especially when you are a truther and you're a researcher and you search and search and search, it builds up pride. Because the Bible says knowledge puffs up when you search and search and you get so smart and then you begin to think you know it all and then you just want to tell everybody what you know because you know so much. See, it builds up pride. But God wants to pluck that out today. He wants to pull that pride out so that we can love with the days that are coming. So let's all bow our head and humble ourselves this morning. Lord, we just come before a very holy throne this morning, Lord. We thank you on this ninth day of fasting, Lord, that you brought it to the surface, a root in us that needs to be plucked out, and that's pride. And Lord, we humbly ask you to pull that out. Pull out all pride, Lord. And we surrender that to you, Lord. We humbly repent. So everybody just repeat after me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I repent today for all pride in my heart. And I am asking you, Lord, to pull that root out and heal me of pride in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we thank you for the story of Samson. And, Lord, how you had mercy on him at the end of his life. You still heard him when he was suffering from the consequences of what he had done. You still heard your servant, Lord. What a merciful God we have. So, Lord, we just thank you for healing all of us today, Lord. Forgiving us of our sin. Forgive us of our pride, Lord. And we just thank you and give you praise today for who you are. You're so worthy to be praised, Lord. We thank you for healing and delivering us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I sure feel a burden lifted. Glory, hallelujah. God is so good. All right, let me stop the recording and we're going to go through the rings.